Support for WPR comes from 4imprint, providers of promotional products for businesses, including embroidered apparel, trade show items, and logoed business gifts. More is at 4imprint.com. 4imprint, for certain.
Support for WPR comes from WIPS with Toward One Wisconsin, a conference on equity, diversity, and inclusion, May 7th and 8th in Eau Claire. Registration information and more is at t1w.org.
We are constantly interacting with others, whether it's in person, over the phone, or online, and most of those contacts go pretty smoothly, but unfortunately, there are people out there who are looking to take advantage of you or me or both of us. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Important we talk about the situations we encounter so that others can avoid them and so that consumer advocates know what's happening around the state. And we're lucky to have a couple of great department folks working with us on consumer protection issues. They compile reports from people around the state. They get information out to the rest of us. Every month or so, they come by to share those resources with us right here. Sandy Chalmers, Administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection, one of our guests. Thanks for coming, Sandy.
It's always great to be here.
You are most welcome every time. Michelle Reinen is Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection, and Michelle, it's always great to have you with us as well. Thank you so much.
It's good to be back. Thanks for having us.
Well, we've got, this is sort of a special time, January 28th, which was actually yesterday, but it's Data Privacy Day. This is kind of Data Privacy Week. And what's going on? What kind of data we should we be protecting?
Well, we try to make a big deal about Data Privacy Day because, unfortunately, we see people who have become victims of identity theft because they have not protected themselves online. And it takes the average victim of online identity theft $300 and 12 hours to resolve the issues that are created. And that's an average. And unfortunately, what tends to happen is that once your credit card number or social security number or whatever it is that's been stolen is out there, it is sold on through the black market around the world, and you continually are victimized until, you know, you finally have to get a new social security number. You know, it gets to that point. And just imagine the difficulties that causes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess my top number one thing that people should do to protect themselves is pay attention to their passwords. And people, unfortunately, tend to do things like they still use their mother's maiden name as their password. Mm. They use the same password for every account they have. And I guess the most important thing you could do if you're listening to this show is change your passwords and mm-hmm. make sure that you have a unique password for every unique account you have. And that, you know, password is the first line of defense against these cyber thieves. Make your passwords long, strong, and complex, and change them frequently. People say, well, you know, it gets really hard to remember all my passwords. Well, there are a number of applications out there that help you store and manage your passwords, or you can always write them down on a piece of paper and just store it somewhere safe that's not right next to your computer. But passwords are so important. They're just like the key to your online home. That's the way we like to think of it. And probably not paid attention to as much as it should be.
Yeah. Too bad. And it is a pain. I mean, I couldn't even tell you how many passwords I have. I've got so many, and I, you know, mine are, you know, written down on a piece of paper. Otherwise, I'd never remember. some you remember, of course, but there are some you don't use very often, and you almost have to have those written down on a piece of paper and then stored in a safe place.
Right. And remember, that safe place is not your wallet. So don't be carrying them around with you.
Yeah, that's probably
not a good
idea.
And that can happen. So make sure it's something you leave at home in a safe place.
Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen, our guests today. You can join in if you've got a question maybe about this whole business of data privacy, or maybe another consumer issue. I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. Or if you want, post on my Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question, comment, or even a photo right there. We do have an email from Sarah, who yesterday received a notice from L.L. Bean that she was pre-qualified for their Visa credit card. She said, I'm on a do not contact, do not call list, yet I still receive this solicitation from Barclays Bank. Within the letter was a phone number to call in order to opt out of future offers. I called it and got the consumer credit reporting industry answering machine. First thing they asked was for my Social Security number. I was told to never give that number, so I hung up. I feel this kind of solicitation preys upon consumer. I do not want another credit card, no matter what the glorious benefits. It leaves me with the burden of trying to get out of something I didn't ask for. Is that fair? Well, what do you think, Michelle?
Well, first, with the do not call list, that stops telephone solicitation phone calls. So the do not call list doesn't cover you receiving mailings.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are ways to reduce and stop the amount of pre-approved credit card offers that you can receive. And you want to do that, we have a phone number you can call, and it's 1-888-5-OPT-OUT. And that's a national place that you can, it's the opt-out service where they will stop the pre-screen offers that you receive. And you'd want to call there and get your name on that list so you don't get those mailings. But if you do, I mean, asking for your Social Security number and that information, if you're pre-approved, that is the process if you were interested in the credit card. So be aware. It's great that she doesn't want any more credit because that is affects your credit score, how much credit you have out there. And so being vigilant to the offers you're receiving and trying to minimize those coming to your home is a great way to take precautions against identity theft.
So you said the number was 1-888
5 opt out.
Oh, 5 opt out. I didn't get the 5. I'm missing something here. 1-888-5 opt out. Do we have the actual numbers?
We do. 888-567-8688.
8688. Some folks who have vision problems, it's easier to use the number. So 1-888-567-8688.
Mm-hmm. We do recommend that college students take advantage of that service because they are barraged with offers for yeah. credit cards, and they tend to move around a lot. So, if you know, it's very easy to steal one of those applications and apply for a credit card number in somebody else's name. So just a suggestion.
Muriel in Lone Rock, this is maybe out of your area a little bit, but she said, we did our taxes last year and e-filed and filed with a check for $3,200 to the IRS, which we sent via U.S. mail. We got a notice a few months later from the IRS that we hadn't paid our taxes. We then sent a copy of our cash check front and back and have been told that the IRS did not cash the check, and they have no record of our payment. Our bank is trying to trace the check back to see who cashed it, but it has been 3 weeks with no word. We're thinking we've been scammed either by someone inside the IRS or by mail fraud. Can the IRS really make us pay our taxes twice just because they have no record of payment when we have the canceled check and the money has been removed from our account? Wow.
Yeah,
what do you think, Sandy?
Unfortunately, this is becoming more and more common, and we recommend that people not leave anything to do with their taxes in their mailbox with the red flag up, because it's just a signal to thieves. And we have heard a lot of cases where either people's payments were stolen from the mail, or their W-2s were stolen, or their, you know. So 23% of the identity theft complaints filed in 2011 had to do with government documents fraud, and most of those are tax related.
Oh, so
it's... So be very, very careful around tax time not to leave anything, money or checks in your mailbox outside.
And, you know, you can always have the IRS take the money out of your bank account. I mean, if you file electronically, that should be safe, I would think.
Right. We have worked with the IRS fraud unit and the U.S. Postal Inspection Service on these kinds of cases. And, you know, you just cannot be vigilant enough at tax time.
Nick in Green Bay, your turn. Hi, Nick.
Oh, I'm so tickled to death that you guys are on here right now.
Ah, well.
Excuse my voice. I'm kind of coming off the cold. But my problem is I went over to Walmart and bought a $2,000 flat screen TV. And Walmart offers that insurance plan.
Yep.
So we've had the TV for a year, and now the insurance plan's kicking in. So we call them up because the TV is turning off by itself. They sent the repair guy over. He opens up the back of the TV. He's like, whoa. He's like, I don't know what any of these circuit boards are for. We'll just start replacing random circuit boards. Like, okay. And then, so he orders it, he breaks a new one, and he tries to scotch tape it back together and to put it in my TV. And my wife is like, and I'm a ham operator, so I know a little bit of electronics. I know you can't do that. So she's like, we got a little concerned about the scotch tape. And the guy's like, fine. If you don't like how I do it, he's like, we'll find some. You go find somebody else to do it. So we called the insurance company, and they just keep blowing us off. And I reported him to you guys, but now I want to report the Walmart insurance company to you guys, and they refuse to give me their name or where they're located. They're like, we got multiple call centers. We can't just give you an address. I'm like, I want to report this to the Better Business Bureau because I'm sitting with a $2,000 TV I can't watch, but they just won't give me any information about it. Because when I filed a complaint with you guys, I need an address and a name and stuff, and they just won't give me anything. They're just like, well, don't worry, we'll make it better. So what do I do with that? I mean, I even called the Walmart store, and he had a guy call me last night, and the guy was just rude. He's like, I don't know anything. You're going to have to wait for us to call you. It's been a month, and they haven't called me yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely file that complaint. And I understand that our forms ask a lot of questions about the identity of the business, but give us what you can is always the approach we use, as much as you can. So if you have the phone number, if you have a copy of the receipt when you purchase the insurance or any copies of the documents, that helps us point. And we can always, contact Walmart and inquire from them who their companies are that you purchased through them. So what you can give us.
Yeah, there you go. And they will respond to you.
They hopefully will respond to us.
There you go, Nick. Thanks for calling. Good luck. Steve in Madison. Hi, thank you for calling.
Thank you, Larry. I love your show. I always want to tell you that when I see you at the basketball games, but I don't. I will tell you today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. This is a twofold problem. It has to do with an error in a credit report and the establishment of service with AT&T for cable, internet, and telephone. A senior citizen who I agreed to assist on this enrolled in AT&T service, and it's kind of strange. There were no discounts as they usually have for their promotions, but the service was installed, and the very next day she got a call from AT&T saying that because you have a bad credit report, and this was due to an error in the credit report through one of the agencies, but because of the bad credit report, they say we need to have your credit card to automatically debit your bills. And she agreed to give that, although it was contrary to her practice. She gave the credit card number up. And what they charged her will just floor you. $449 of one-time non-refundable fees to establish service.
Oh.
And when I call AT&T, they will not budge on this. She did not know she was agreeing to that. And she thought by giving the credit card number, the payment would be guaranteed, and as it was, but despite that, they exploit her with a $449 one-time charge in addition to activation fees. What do you suggest I do to assist the senior citizen in recovering her money?
I would right away, Steve, file a consumer complaint with our agency so we can help get involved, because there should be full disclosures as far as what any upfront fees should be for a service and then what your regular monthly payment should be. So please get that consumer complaint filed so we can be communicating with the company.
And what's
have you ever heard of such a upfront fee that is so usurious in this case?
I've heard of some pretty significant fees. I can't say that I've heard of one that large. So it'd be interesting to see what all went into that fee.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's a shock to see $625 for the first month of TV service.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem right. So what's the phone number to get the...
It's our phone number that you can call the hotline is 1-800-422-7128, and a consumer associate should be able to get you a complaint form. But then with the credit report, if there are errors, you can contact back the credit reporting agency and dispute those errors so they can make corrections to the report. And then that may eventually clear that up, so then she doesn't have to be on an automatic withdrawal with the AT&T for the service.
Yeah, absolutely. Good luck. And please do call that number, 1-800-422-7128. You can also go online and get that right offline at your website at the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. We actually have a link to that on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. If you'd like to do it that way, that's another way to do it. Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen of the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection are guests today, and they'll be with us right up until 12:30 here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking consumer protection issues with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen today of the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Sandy's an administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. Michelle directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection. So great to have them with us. Thank you for listening in. Questions, call us at 800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org. Or go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment or photo, whatever, right there. And, Michelle, we were going to talk. We should mention that the lady that was having the elderly lady with the problems, there's one other thing she could do, isn't there?
Yeah, I think the caller was Steve. And one thing we were talking about during the break that might be an option is to file a dispute with the credit card company where the bill is being posted to. If the disclosed amount for the service is different than what she was charged, it's definitely something you could file a dispute with your credit card company about and at least put it on hold from interest rates and things for a while.
Tom in Cedarburg, we are going to give you a chance if I can push the right button here. There we go. Hi, Tom. Thank you for calling.
Sure. My parents' 2010 taxes through the state of Wisconsin,
yep.
They had done through TurboTax, and my parents got a notice about a month ago stating that the state of Wisconsin did not receive payment, and yet the... through the TurboTax, it was taken on my parents' account, and that's a fact that was done, and yet my mom tried to contact the state of Wisconsin, and they're saying that there's no record of payment. So that's not through the mail; that was actually through the checking account. So I'm wondering what you're thinking about that.
If that's the case, you should have a bank record of that, then wouldn't they, Sandy?
I would think so. And we've worked with the Department of Revenue customer service people on several things. And I would imagine they'd be willing to work with you on this by explaining what kind of documentation you could provide to kind of get this resolved.
Well, my mom actually talked to them and it got stuff through the bank and stuff like that, but they still will not admit that they've received payment, even though it shows that that the bank statement showed that it was that they were paid.
You wonder why things like this happen.
Yeah, and because we aren't that familiar with the revenue department rules, I mean, we can't really, we just don't have any basis to comment further, unfortunately.
One of the, did you contact TurboTax too, by the way?
Yes, and they went through their records, and they also showed that, yeah, that the payment was made to the state of Wisconsin.
Oh, you know what I'd do then? I would get that information together, and who's your representative? I would go to my representative and say, look at this, what I'm getting, the runaround I'm getting, and show that representative that information and let the representative, your state senator, or take a look at it. And I'm betting that there might be some movement. I would do that.
I think actually that they admit that they received the payment, but they don't admit that they received the paperwork of the taxes, even though they cashed a check.
Well, how would they know to cash the check?
Right.
Like I said, I would take all of that right straight to my representative and let him or her handle that or deal with that. That's what they have. They probably won't do it personally, but believe me, there are people that representatives have that handle that sort of thing, and that's right where I'd go. Good luck. Let us know, Tom. Let me know how that turns out. Andy in Sun Prairie, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
All right. Real quick, two questions for you, and I can take the answers off the air. But the first one is my wife got a gift for Christmas of a metal credit card case with a story behind it that people were getting their cards scanned walking down the street from their cards in their purses. So the question is that for real, and how common is that? Second question, I'm a small business owner and recently got a phone call from an accountant firm saying that one of my clients, and didn't name the client, was asking for my W-9 form, which because I'm a single member and LLC is just my social security number, here's the fax number, please fax it over. And there was no information whatsoever as far as who the client was that was asking for it and such. Is that a common scam for trying to get people's
social security number? Wow, yeah. Sandy.
I'll talk about the metal credit card holders first. That is real, and I, as a former federal employee, we were given those metal card holders for our federal IDs because they had a magnetic strip on the back, and where I've heard that this scam is more frequent is in stores that have display racks of prepaid or gift cards or debit cards.
Yeah.
And thieves can walk in and scan the strip off the back, get the information, and then use that money off the card. I don't know how common it is, but certainly it's not a bad idea to have your credit cards in some kind of metal holder.
Hmm. All right. There we go. And what about this W-9 form business?
Well, I would ask some questions as far as who the client is and inquire. I mean, you're a small business owner, and yes, your tax number is your social security number, so you're being very cautious and vigilant as to how you're handing that out. And I think because you're filling out a federal tax form, you want to know where it's going and who's going to hold on to it and how they're going to protect it. So I'd inquire and do lots of questions, and you may need to hand it over if that's a business relationship you have.
Speaking of representatives, Brad Halsey joins us from Madison. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Larry. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. I just heard the end of that comment, and yes, the person should definitely call their state representative. We're Department of Revenue is unfortunately understaffed, so they're having these kind of problems. But this is a typical wonderful place, Larry. We're actually hiring more public servants at Department of Revenue. Not only increases, you know, consumer care, but also can help bring in more money to the state. So.
Yeah, that makes good sense, Brett. Thank you for calling.
Sure thing. Have a happy New Year.
Yeah, you as well. Thanks very much. Of course, Brett Halsey, a representative for the state of Wisconsin, and great to have him call in and second my motion. Quinn and Madison, your turn. Hi, Quinn.
Hi, Larry. Good to be on. I'm an attorney who works with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and I just wanted to say that how much we appreciate the work that DACAP Consumer Protection does, and in particular, I work with the Division of Forestry, and we consistently refer folks to utilize not only DACAP Consumer Protection related to timber harvest, but the Better Business Bureau format, which in terms of due diligence is just a great way to make sure that the folks you're using and bringing on your property to manage your forest resources are appropriately vetted and got the history to back up their performance. So I just wanted to get that in there.
Oh, good. Thank you so much, Quinn, for calling. I appreciate it. Well, it's a nice little pat on the back for you guys.
We'll take it.
We have, here's something we need to address right away because we got a call from Marilyn, emailed, said, I just tried that opt-out number, 1-888-OPT-OUT. It's 1-888-5 opt out is what the number is. And otherwise it wouldn't work. 1-888-5 opt out. The automated message is to enter my Social Security number. Is that safe?
If you are contacting the appropriate phone number to opt out of pre-approved credit offers, you will need to give that number so they match them up accordingly, that it's your pre-approvals that they are discontinuing. There is a website as well that I have in front of me if people want to go so they can see more information about it, and that would be optoutprescreen.com. So optoutprescreen.com. If you want to go take a look at it before you proceed with that. And the other thing you can do is call our 800 number and get a fact sheet sent to you, or go to our website to look at our fact sheet about opting out before you do that, so you do have a better comfort level, because that's what we advise consumers all the time. Make sure they're comfortable before they give out their information and do the research behind it.
All right. And Ed in Toma. By the way, you can join in, too. We have some open lines, finally, and you can get on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Let's go to Ed in Toma next. Ed, thank you for calling. Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm not going to help me because my understanding when I called this agency is that there's no one in the state that regulates propane, per se. But what I ran into was some years ago when my wife and I built our house, we put in a geothermal system. And so the first year we used $36 worth of propane. Well, then we got a bill later, even at a higher amount, because we didn't use enough propane. So now it's up to $50 as a courtesy charge. If you have not used enough energy, they charge you more.
Oh.
So it's a little, every time I think about it, my blood boils just a tad, but
yeah.
I went into the co-op where we were doing business, and I said, you know, I noticed you put in fluorescent lights, you know, the electric company charge you a bit more for saving money using fluorescent, but the manager didn't have an answer. So thanks for listening and let me back.
All right. Well, that's one, I guess they can charge what they probably what they want to charge, as long as it's up front.
Yeah, you want to disclose, and I mean, sometimes you have service agreements or contracted agreements for the season, and you just want to look at what it is you're agreeing to, and yeah, it's a tough one.
We had a, by the way, you can email us at talk@wpr.org if you'd like to do that as well. Also, go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, or phone us at 1-800-642-1234. So we had a Milwaukee caller get on with Judith and said that his mother is in her 90s and had done paid burial arrangements through the Wisconsin Funeral Trust. The trust has defaulted, and he's not been able to get a response from them, and his mother invested about $8,000 in the fund. What can you do?
Our agency has not been involved with that directly, but I would recommend that this person call the Department of Justice Consumer Protection Unit, and they will be able to advise.
Okay.
I don't have that number, but it state Wisconsin Department of Justice Consumer Protection Unit.
Okay. But that is, in fact, the case. Right.
That is a case that's been publicized in the news media.
Oh, boy. You can join in again, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. We've talked so much about taxes. On the fraud side of things, is there much in the way of tax preparation fraud going on? Sandy Chalmers?
Unfortunately, there is, and the IRS has been taking steps over the last couple of years or so to kind of rein it in. Most tax preparers, I believe, now are required to have an IRS designated number.
Okay.
That's one thing. But we just had a case in Milwaukee that was just settled. Some of these tax preparers are also offering refund anticipation loans. And for a while, we saw banks doing this, and they aren't doing it so much anymore. But now it's what are they called? I'm drawing a blank.
Loan places?
Quick loan places, the paycheck cashing places.
Yeah.
That's what they're called. When you choose a tax preparer, make sure that you ask lots of questions about the person's qualifications. Ask if they're a CPA or an attorney. Ask them for their IRS designated preparer, tax preparer ID number. You can check with us or with the Better Business Bureau to see if there are complaints against this person. And find out what they're going to charge you in advance. And if they promise to take as their fee a percentage of your refund, that's probably a red flag. We've had cases where people were asked to sign a blank tax form.
Yeah.
That's another red flag, obviously. Review the entire return before it's filed. And make sure that the tax preparer signs the form as well.
We have Bryce in Colby, Wisconsin, next. Bryce, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to address the problem that the guy's got with being charged $50 a year for his propane.
I have
a similar situation here in that I put in a wood furnace, so I haven't used any gas in the last 4 years, but I pay $50 a year because I don't own the tank, and it sits out there with gas in it as a backup for me. And I could buy the tank, but it would cost a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I choose to pay the rent, and I think that might be what he is doing.
That could be it. Okay. Well, that makes some sense. Bryce, thank you.
You bet.
I appreciate that very much. So Bryce is paying the $50 just to have the peace of mind of having that as a backup in case something goes wrong. And if that's the case, if it's $50 a year, that's $4 a month. That's pretty cheap insurance, I guess, against bad weather. Lee in, or big problems. Lee in Caledonia. Hi, thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you. I sent a $50 Visa gift card to a friend at Christmas, and when he received it, all he received was the envelope with nothing inside. My question is, I don't know how often this happens, but should I report it only because it then gives you the information? I don't think I'm going to ever get my $50 back, but what is there anything I should do?
You wouldn't report that to our agency at Consumer Protection. You would want to report that to the Postal Inspection Service. Make sure that the Postal Service knows about this because they have internal inspectors and look at postal fraud, and that could be a form that they'd be very interested in.
Okay, great.
I do have that website available. It's postalinspectors.usps.gov. So
okay,
postalinspectors.usps.gov. And all the people who have, the earlier caller who said that her tax payment was lost somewhere between her house and the IRS, you know, she may want to file a complaint with them too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks,
great,
Lee.
Great. Thanks.
Yeah. Appreciate the call. And Ann in Wood County. Hi, Ann.
Well, good morning. I have a problem, and I'm hoping you can help me.
Okay.
In October, my husband and I went through a company called Tech Electric to purchase a home generator that would hook up to your propane tank in case the power would go off.
Yeah.
And he came out and gave us an estimate and told us that we needed to send in half of it, and he would place the order for us. We did that. And this was in October. We've been calling him. Phone numbers have been disconnected. We have one number that says, you have reached Brandy's Tech Electric. Please leave a number.
Mm.
And we've been calling him. She emailed me three times and said they would be out there. They were supposed to come out last Wednesday. They were supposed to come out last Friday. They were supposed to come out yesterday. And nothing. They did cash my bank cashier's check in the amount of $3,423.
Oh.
But she signed it as B. Barrett, not stamped or anything by Tech Electric. Now, this company is supposed to be out of either Oconto or Lena. And how I found out was this Tech Electric company is subcontracted. If I would have ordered it through Home Depot, that Tech Electric would have been their subcontract for installation.
Okay.
And I went to Home Depot. They said the number I have is the same number they use, and it's the same. The lady says this is Brandy's Tech Electric, but that's all. I can't get no response from anyone else.
Hmm.
I would recommend that you file a complaint with us. And what we do in these cases is take the information from you and then track down the company. And we have investigative tools to help us do that and act as a mediator between you and the company. And in most cases, the company will and the complainant will come to some kind of an agreement on what happens next. But you can file a complaint online by going to our website. It's datcp.wisconsin. datcp.wisconsin.gov.
Okay. And then I just file a complaint
And you'll be asked to provide us any kind of documentation you have. Any information you have helps us resolve the issue.
Okay. So should I request phone bill copies of my phone bills also? I mean, I do have my emails.
No, I don't think that's necessary. But anything.
The emails, probably.
The emails, right.
Copied of your canceled check will be very important for us to be able to track to see who cashed the check.
Okay, they did give us a business card, and that business card says Tech Electric, and then it says Wayne Barrett, Master Electrician, and he has two phone numbers on there. The first phone number...
Well, actually, you probably need to do this online rather than we go through all this on the show specifically. So, and go online. Could she call too as well?
She can call and we'd mail out a complaint form that she can fill out.
Yes.
Yeah, either way that works for her.
Yeah. So I just go online and get the complaint form. But if you want to, you can just go 1-800-422-7128. It's 1-800-422-7128 if you did want to call and have it mailed to you. So there you go. Ron in Kewaskum, it's your turn. Hi, Ron.
Hi. I have a question about the lemon law in Wisconsin, the vehicle.
Okay.
Had a new car for about a year, and it's had a problem. This is the fourth time we've had this problem with it. The last time the dealership kept it for a month. Well, we got it back. They gave us a loaner, but they said they've done everything they can do to fix the problem. They've talked to, and it's a Chrysler product, and they said they've talked to Chrysler about it. So now we're getting a runaround. We're getting no phone calls back from either place. Any suggestions?
Hmm.
You'd want to contact the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. I'm sorry to have to tell you that, but they are the agency that handles the Wisconsin, the Lemon Law. And so if you could contact them, that would be a great thing to do. They'd be able to better assist you and advise you.
Yeah. Sandy, do you have the number?
I don't have the phone number, but the website is dot.wisconsin.gov.
dot.wisconsin.gov?
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Wonderful.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks, Ron. Thank you for calling. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post a question on my Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen of the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection are guests today. I'm Larry Mehler here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you listening in here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mehler here with my guests, Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen of the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, talking about consumer protection issues with them. You can join in. James and Madison, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi there. I have a, I hope, pretty quick and simple question. Sometimes can't pay rent with cash, and my landlord accepts credit card. And I think at one time she said something like, or they said, well, we'll have to, you'll have to incur the fees. And I was at the time just thinking, whatever. But then down the road, as you start to see it on the bill, you're like, wait, is this right? I'm paying the credit card fees, you know, no different than a retail account. Is it, we could talk about moral or legal. Is it legal?
Well, this is something that's been in the news just in the last couple of days. There's been a long, ongoing case in the courts between retailers and credit card companies over who pays those fees. And it was recently resolved through a settlement, and now retailers can charge consumers for those, they call them swipe fees. And I believe this past Sunday was the first day that that's in effect. I don't know where this lawsuit is headed. I've read that it may be headed for the Supreme Court. But it does have the potential to change the landscape. You know, things have been moving more and more to cashless way of doing business. And if people have to pay 4% on major purchases, you know, that's going to deter them from using a credit card. I don't know. You may want to take a look at your rental agreement to see whether this kind of the terms that you're describing are included in that. Do you have anything to add, Michelle, on the contract?
Yeah, no, exactly. Take a look at the rental agreement and see what it states about that. And if it disclosed that there'd be this extra fee for accepting credit over cash because they may see it as a different kind of convenience and it costs more for them to operate the business using credit, if it's all disclosed, then it may be what it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing in the lease about it, but the way when I finally confronted them, they said to me, well, we're doing it as a convenience. The yes, we're a retail business, but the property end of things, renting out is a different, one could say a different tax account, and we're doing you a convenience by letting you use your credit card.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, wait, and I pay $40 on top of the money I'm paying you rent, plus if there's late fees, you know, so just get out the credit card. And so, and then it just took probably a year, at least on and off of doing this, for me to just think, or someone talking to me, I don't think that's right. But who knows if it's right or wrong, whether it's legal is the one thing. I've never paid credit card fees before, that's all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, if they're disclosing, you could file a complaint, we could communicate with the landlord, look at the law. I think without all the details in front of us, it's difficult for us to talk about the bottom line legality of it. But they had the conversation, and it's that they're passing the costs on to the buyer, really. Yeah. So,
yep, there you go. So if you want, James, you can call that 800 number, 1-800-422-7128, and I'll send you out a form that you can fill out and file a complaint. Sheila in Green Bay, hello.
Hi. I'm a clerk with the U.S. Postal Service, and I can explain some things about gift cards. First of all, keep your receipt. If it's ever, the ones that we sold at the post office were, if it was lost or it didn't show up, that receipt would get you a refund on it. The other thing is everything that's a first-class letter, 2 ounces and under, is going to go through machinery, and at Christmas time especially, there are some really flimsy envelopes out there, and they bunch up the machine and spoil other people's things. These cards fly out. We don't steal them. We turn them into the supervisor, and what happens to them, I don't know how they deal with it. But that could have been one of the things that happened. By all means, if you've ever lost any property in the Postal Service, contact the the postal inspectors, because we want to, you know, get the thieves. We're very embarrassed about them. The other thing is there's tracking services. You cannot insure a check, money order, or gift card, but you can put a tracking number on it, and every machine that it goes through, that gets tracked right up until delivery to your door.
Sheila, you know what? You sound just like the postal people that I deal with, friendly and with great information.
Oh, good. I hope I was concise.
You were, and I appreciate that very much. That's good information.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Appreciate it very much. Lots of good people out there in the postal business, in our post offices. Leah in Green Bay. Hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thank you. I'm a fine arts photographer, and I entered a competition a few years ago. And some of my photos were out online. And then recently I Googled myself, and I came across my photos being sold.
Oh.
But it doesn't say who's getting it, you know, or who's making money on it. And I don't know how to track down the, I don't know how to track down the people who own that site that are selling my photos.
Wow.
Any suggestions?
I guess the lesson for the rest of us is once something's posted online, it's always posted, you know, and that goes for photos of us. But this is a little bit different situation. You know, you I don't know whether your materials were copyrighted. That's one angle. But this may be a case where you will want to hire an attorney and take some private action.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm not sure what to do. I mean, how you find out?
I don't know of any of our consumer laws that would apply in this case.
Uh-huh.
But
and sometimes with Judith was reminding me too that sometimes with contests you give up ownership rights.
No, this wasn't. I know it wasn't at the time, but
okay.
All right. Well, thank you. I'll decide what I want to do.
And there are talented investigators for pay out there that you could always hire someone who could possibly track back on the internet who's selling the material.
Oh, that's
so then
great.
You could work with the attorney to
communicate.
Okay. Well, I'll try. I'll think about what I want to do next. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. I suppose you could just go ahead and order one of your own photos. You would. I mean, depending on how much they're charging, it might be the cheapest way to find out
who's doing it. Yeah,
who's doing it is. Although it would be really galling, wouldn't it?
Have to buy your own work. Yeah.
Buy your own work, and Facebook. I see now too. There has been some information on Facebook here in the last few days that you can opt out of them using your photos for posting and advertising and so forth?
Yeah, if you're a Facebook user or if you're any kind of social networking site user, you really need to stay on top of the changes in the privacy policies, because they do change a lot. And it's your responsibility, really, to control what is out there. And don't feel like just because you have a Facebook account, you have to share with the world, because you don't.
We have an email from Steve in Madison. Reputation.com. Do you know anything about that particular company, what services they provide or charges and competitors? And
is that one of those online reputation management companies? I'm not really sure. But one thing you may want to consider is research online reputation management yourself, and do what you can yourself, and then look at their charges and decide whether you really need to pay somebody to do that for you.
I'm not sure how you'd use it. Is it sort of to clear a reputation?
Well, there are so many sites now that take user comments on businesses, restaurants, physicians, everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, a negative posting can really affect your business. So I think that's what this kind of company is in business to do.
Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, our guests. They'll be with us right up until 12:30 today. We'll take a look at the news, weather, and find out what else is in store for us next. When we're trying to stretch our budgets, it's understandable. You might want to find some deals out there. They become certainly more irresistible than ever, and sometimes they really are good deals, and sometimes they're not. Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Important to know where to turn for help when you get caught in a scam, or to know how to avoid one in the first place. And Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection are guests with us till 12:30 to find out what experiences you've had. They can share what they know about how to get out of these problems. And you can join in by calling us. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org, or go to my Facebook page. You can post there at the Larry Mueller Show. Click like while you're there. We'll send you regular updates on upcoming show topics. We'll be back right after the news. In the course of a week or a month, we act as a consumer many times. Between paying bills for utilities or rent or mortgage or buying subscriptions or items online, eating out, buying groceries, lots of transactions, and happily, most of them do go smoothly, and you get what you pay for. Other times there are problems, and those have to be addressed. And we have Michelle Reinen, Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection, with us today, and Sandy Chalmers, Administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection, as our guests to help you through the quagmire that we get into with problems relating to what we purchase or when we go online. I hope you'll join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org, or go to my Facebook page. You can post there at the Larry Mueller Show. Actually, I had a Facebook comment from Annette, who said State Farm Insurance is charging $3.50 a month if you don't use the credit card. And is that legal? And it is legal, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's an inactivity fee, but I've had that happen to me as well on a credit card. So either once a month, go get a tank of gas, or remember to take it to the grocery store or something, or cancel the card if you don't need it. It depends on the purpose you have the credit card as security and backup, and you want to maintain that, or if you just don't need it and you're hanging on to it. But they can charge that fee, so pay attention to it.
Jay in Pittsville, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Appreciate your call.
Thank you. Hey, I had a question about the Element Mobile case with the Consumer Protection Agency out of, I think it was Wisconsin Rapids.
Okay, yeah.
I never knew the outcome or heard any outcome of that case.
Well, let's first what we'll need probably is a little background so everybody knows what the heck we're talking about here, Michelle.
Sure. Element Mobile is a cellular telecommunications carrier that had a service changeover at the beginning of January 2011 now, I believe. And so a number of consumers had service outages for an extended weekend or potentially longer and some internet usage issues on their data plan of smartphones. So we received a number of consumer complaints and worked with Element Mobile and negotiated to try and get the consumer complaints resolved that we had received and reached a settlement in September of 2012 where they were willing to pay back the consumers that we had received complaints on, and they had to sign agreements to the settlements, and we contacted all the consumers that we'd received complaints on, and Element mailed out the settlement letters, and all the payments had to be made by the end of 2012. And so I'm trying to remember the amount, if it's $250,000.
Yeah, the settlement was about $250,000. And part of the settlement also was that Element Mobile had to repair the a number of people had been referred to collections because their bills were being disputed. So that was all worked out through the settlement agreement.
Okay, now I filed a case on that, and I never heard nothing back, and I did a credit check, and that is on my credit report, and I have gotten a call from a credit agency, and I've never heard nothing back from the Consumer Protection Agency.
I'd like you, Jay, to call our 800 number and ask to speak to the investigator that's on that case so you can get an update from him on your individual complaint and report this to him, and they can take and communicate with Element Mobile about what's going on with your complaint.
Okay, and the 800 number is?
1-800-422-7128.
And who will I be talking to?
Well, someone from our hotline will answer the phone, one of our complaint associates, and then just ask to speak to the investigator that's in charge of the Element Mobile case. And okay, they'll be able to look that up and get you over to that person.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yep, thanks, Jay, for calling. Christine in Oshkosh. Hello.
Well, hello there. Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, I just happen to have the radio on and just happened to get an interesting phone call from someone that claims to have a business where he would buy old judgments that are hanging in the balances in the court systems from people.
Mm-hmm.
And then after he would buy that from you, then he would go and try to pursue collecting these judgments himself and then keep the money or whatever. I'm just wondering how legal that is. I was very skeptical when he called me. I asked him a lot of questions. I'm just wondering, is this something that someone can do legally?
Well, Christine, it's something I've heard of before, where people do try and purchase judgments for pennies on the dollar. It's similar. It's the reverse of collection agencies buying companies' outstanding debts and following up that way. You'd want to be very cautious about what you're handing over. All the fine print and details about what you would receive for payment, when you would receive it. If you have to pay it all for this service, then that doesn't work, because then you're not getting your judgment paid if you're paying to have it collected. So, and depending upon what kind of judgment sits out there, there are different ways for you to receive payment for your judgment, such as garnishing wages and different things like that. So, ask a lot of questions, get a lot of details, get them in writing, and the bottom line is, do you have to pay for this service, and what kind of information do you have to hand over?
Yeah, I thought those were really good things to think about. It just was perfect timing. It just happened like less than a half an hour ago, and so I thought I'd call and just sort of see, and then my next step was maybe just to go to the courthouse myself and start asking some questions. So
yep. Great idea.
Good idea. So it's perfect timing for you, Christine. Thank you.
Well, thanks. Thank you, too, and have a great day.
Yep, you too. Thank you. T Tim in Hancock, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi, Larry. I had a question regarding a pharmaceutical malpractice issue with Walmart. A while back, I filled a series of prescriptions at a Walmart pharmacy and unfortunately was given a prescription for another gentleman whose name differed from mine only by the beginning initial. I came home because I was out of some prescriptions and took the medications and inadvertently took one of these improper prescriptions. Ended up on an ambulance ride at the hospital having some pretty serious physical reactions to it. Spent the about 18 hours in the emergency room. And here's my question. I approached the personnel at the Walmart pharmacy, the manager and the pharmaceutical manager, and told them after I'd begun receiving bills and copays, et cetera, for this very expensive error on their part, that I would like them to pay the bills. Shortly afterwards, I received a call from a loss prevention agency contracted by Walmart that's located in Bentonville, Arkansas, from a young woman who was really hostile. I was not looking to enrich myself based on Walmart's mistakes. I was looking to get a couple of thousand dollars worth of bills paid. The bottom line is, in my several interactions with this woman from this loss prevention agency, she was clearly hostile, really antagonistic to the point where I confronted her, and I simply wanted the bills paid. I then approached several malpractice attorneys, showed them the bottle of medication, explained the circumstances, provided them with medical records, and repeatedly was told that the attorneys weren't willing to take on the issue. And one attorney told me that anyone he's ever filed a complaint or a suit against Walmart regretted filing the suit by the time the situation was completed. I have since paid off those bills, but would really like Walmart to take responsibility for the an error they did that frankly put me in a life-threatening situation. I don't have the financial resources to be independently hiring an attorney unless it's on a contingency basis. I'm not sure
what to do here,
exactly how to pursue this. And I mean, it put me in some pretty, not only the health stressors, but in some pretty significant financial straits.
Yeah. Well, Sandy Chalmers?
The situation you're describing is just not within our legal jurisdiction. So, you know, we can't comment, give you advice because we just don't have a legal basis to do so. The only state of Wisconsin agency I could think of that may be able to provide you with some kind of guidance would be the Department of Safety and Professional Services, which may license pharmacists. So you may look them up on Google and see what you can find out there.
So what is it again? The state?
It's the Department of Safety and Professional Services.
Safety and Professional Services. Wisconsin Department.
Right.
Okay. All right. And the Pharmacy Examining Board is where probably where that caller may need to direct the complaint then, that Pharmacy Examining Board. Thank you, Tim, and good luck. I'm sorry for your situation. Portia in Milwaukee, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. I was calling today. This just happened to me today, but it may have happened before. I found that I had there was a automatic debit from my bank account by a company called Fast Loan Fast. And on the check, it just shows a printed, my printed name. It says pre-authorized. And it then it had a phone number that I called to say, what is this? And who, I did not ask, tell you that you could take money from my account. I don't know how they got into my account. And then that phone number just kind of routes you through saying that, that they are, they have a lot of calls, high volume, and then they ask you to leave a message.
Yeah.
I also then sent an email to an email address that they tell you to send a message to, support@fastloan.com, and it bounced right back. So there's no way to talk to them, and they've been in my bank account.
Was this a...
So I did call my bank. They said that I could fill out an affidavit of unauthorized remotely created check. And I don't know if you all have heard about this, but when I went online, I saw many complaints about the same company and the same amount being taken from people.
Did you do business with this company here in Wisconsin? Did they have a storefront?
No, I've never been to any of their storefronts, no.
Hmm.
Well, it's great that you're in communication with your bank about it, because you're going to want to protect your information with your bank account, and they may want to open a new account so that can be stopped or whatever actions they can take. And I would pay particular attention to your, if they don't change your bank account number to that bank account, to make sure that you haven't become a victim of identity theft in a broader form other than just this company, and that your information's not out there. So work with the bank closely. They'll help you protect your money.
Right. Okay. Yeah, because they did tell me, my bank did tell me that I'd have to, and this is a bank account I've had for 20 plus years,
okay.
That I would have to set up a new bank account, which means, you know, the trouble of it is that I do have auto debits coming out for bills and things of that nature, and that means notifying everybody.
We're just, we're at a little bit of a loss, because there must be some connection either to something else you've done that they passed along the information, or that you very well could be a just a broad victim of identity theft. So I think we're all just a little thinking about it hard, and what could have happened.
I
would run your credit report as well. Do a credit report run and see if there's other activity or extensions of credit going on with your information.
And you do that by going to annualcreditreport.com. And you
annualcreditreport.com.
Right.
It's free.
It's free.
Oh, good. Okay. Because the other thing that kind of connects to this is that I got a text message the other day from, it seemed like some kind of a loan store, asking me, saying that a deposit was waiting for me, and I hadn't applied for one.
Yeah.
So.
Just ignore that.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if this is some kind of headhunter company for something like that, and they just kind of charge you because they're plugging in these fast loan companies. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, run that credit report, and then you can go to our website and get some of the identity theft victim tips and what to do to safeguard your information, and then what to do if you've become a victim, so you can be following up. And if you need to, file a complaint so you can get some victim assistance.
And
okay,
in the meantime, just in case, change all your passwords.
Because your
computer may be infected. You just don't know.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And good luck, Portia. It's I know it's a big pain. You've got to call, you know, especially when you have automatic deductions coming. You got to call everybody. And Pat and Cedarburg. On to you. Hi, Pat.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call, Larry.
Mm-hmm.
My question was for the ladies. My husband and I just recently subscribed to a company called LifeLock to protect our identity.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'd like to know their opinion of this.
Well, there are a number of companies out there like LifeLock where you pay, it's usually a monthly fee. Or an annual fee, and they will notify you if there are requests for credit pinging against your credit report. You know, it's really a consumer choice. There are a lot of things you can do yourself. You can place a security fee on your credit reports. You can check your credit report annually. As Larry just said, it's free, and you can check each one of the three credit reporting bureaus once a year free. So, you know, some people know that they just don't have time or won't do that. Others are very disciplined about it. So it's kind of like an insurance policy, and it's an individual consumer choice whether you want to do that or not.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Had a few emails and so forth to share that we wanted to bring up, too. Price County, this is from Price County Tourism. For the woman who found her photos for sale and for others, you can enter the URL of a website at this address, www.whois.com. So it's whois.com, to find out who owns or runs the website. Now, is this something that you guys are familiar with? Michelle?
Our investigators have a number of tools to track back who owns websites, and this could very well be one that they use. They do have a number of different tools that they're using.
That is, very interesting. A caller asked for more information on the metal credit card holder to protect from being scanned without our knowledge.
Those are available in retail stores or online. I've seen them, you know, for like $5, or, you know, you can pay $25 if you want, but they're basically just a little metal credit card size case that you just stick all your credit cards in, it in your wallet.
So what happens? You're walking along and somebody's sitting there with some sort of ray gun type deal that...
Just little skimmers, electronic, magnetic swipers, skimmers that they can receive the magnetic
How
data.
Close do they have to be? Do you know? Oh, you probably don't
know. It might depend on the quality of the product they have. I don't have the specifics.
Oh, man, if it isn't one thing, it's another, isn't it? And then, well, I would bet that there's probably going to be a little run on those metal credit card holder things, although for those of us who keep those in, you know, you keep a couple. I have two that I keep in my billfold, and they're kind of separated out. But if I clump them together.
Back to back?
Yeah, back to back. Is that going to work? I guess it'll be okay. I don't know. What are some scams to avoid on Craigslist? Just in the last minute or so, Tom emailed. He said, I see phone numbers left there by sellers with some of the numbers spelled out rather than a digit.
You know, there are a ton of scams on Craigslist, and Craigslist is pretty good about keeping up to date with what those scams are. And I was on Craigslist just over the weekend, and on each individual ad, they would have links to be careful about this, be careful about this. So before you do business on Craigslist, with whether you're a buyer or seller, make sure that you read the information about the latest scams. A lot of these scams originate overseas, many from Nigeria, and you know, they've developed software that allows them to mine data from Craigslist and target users.
Actually, just my wife just got something from Craigslist. It was actually from an estate sale, and everything. It was all these little badges that Disney they sell that kids can put on their, the little whatever
the
they call
it. The trading pins.
The trading pins. And so, which sell for about $4 to $10 a piece. And I think she got 50 of them for $30 or something. And everything went fine. So
that's good.
Sometimes it works. It works okay. Oh, man. Michelle, Sandy, thank you so much. It's always great. You'll be back again, I hope, in a month or so. We'll do this all over.
Thanks, Larry.
Appreciate thank it you. Very much. Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers, our guests today. They are with the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Don't forget that number, 1-800-422-7128. You can also get a link on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show.